All right. Well, it's good to be here. Again, the college students are having a great time up there. What a neat time of life. You know, I think about college, and you think about your college years. Gosh, you didn't have to worry about much bills, this, that, and the other. I mean, it was a neat time of life, just with less responsibility to go through. And then you get done, and then you got a job, and then you get married, then you have children, and you got all these responsibilities. Although they're very wonderful, but there's nothing like the freedom of those college days. And what a joy and delight to have all of our college students here with us. We've been talking about your race, the race that you're in. Paul said that we're in a race. We're talking about life, basically. He said life, he likened life to a race. We need to run it. We need to run it well. We need to do well. Last couple of weeks, we've been talking about endurance a little bit. We said that we need to endure like a good soldier, endure hardships like a good soldier. It's not an option. It's a requirement. It's an order from our commander in chief. Then he says, if we endure, that we shall also reign with him. And we talked about four things that we need to do in these difficult times. I think we're in some difficult and interesting times right now. Number one, we need to be watchful. Number two, we need to endure afflictions. Remember that what's not in the safe is not safe. We need to make sure that we are in that safe with the Lord. We need to evangelize, as was talked about also here today. We need to share Christ with people. Just talk about Jesus with everybody. And then we need to fulfill our ministry. We need to do what God's called us to do. And you can always get those messages if you go online at livingfaithfellowship.com. I want to talk this morning now about, I've talked a little bit about how Christians are, how we endure as Christians. I'll talk a little bit more next week too about some enduring. But I want to talk this morning about God endures. Not only is he asking us to endure certain things, but God through the scripture also talks about his endurance. What he endures, if you will, for us. There's 122 times in the scripture where it talks about God and his attributes enduring, not just enduring, but enduring forever. 122 spots. So if you'll stand, we're going to read through one of them. We'll go through a number of them. We're going to read 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. I think we sang a lot about that this morning, about his mercy enduring forever. I'm going to give you eight things that the Lord endures forever with. Eight of them. The first couple we'll take some time with. The last ones we'll run through. First one, as you can tell, mercy. His mercy endures forever. It's 43 times in the scripture talking about his mercy that endures forever. 26 times he says this, his mercy endures forever, in Psalm 136. 26 times. I think he's trying to say it so many times, he says it again and again and again and again, and his mercy endures forever, and his mercy endures forever, and his mercy endures forever. He'll do something like, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. The one who made the sun, his mercy endures forever. And the moon and the stars, his mercy endures forever. He goes through everything talking about all that God did, and his mercy endures forever. Do you finally get it? His mercy endures forever. He wants us to know that. He says it over and over and over again because he wants you to get it. He wants you to understand that you didn't use up the last drop of mercy in the last sin that you were involved in. You didn't lose it. You didn't, I'm done. Nope, that's the last time he can forgive. I'm done. It's over. I'm destitute now. No, it's not at all. It's not at all. We will never have to worry that God will run out of mercy because it flows from a well that will never dry up. His mercy is running after you. It's running after you. His mercy is new every morning. You get the idea that God cares about you understanding his mercy, because without it, we are all doomed. Nobody here makes it to heaven without his mercy. We don't make it on our good looks. We don't make it on our good works. We don't make it on nothing that we have, because all of our works are like filthy rags. There is none that does good. No, not one. We are a bunch of junk, but we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, man, I'll tell you, we should just be so excited about that. That God has redeemed us. That God has filled us with his own presence. That his mercy doesn't run out on us. The first time that this is mentioned, that his mercy endures forever, the very first time in Scripture that it's mentioned is when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. Remember the first time they bring it in kind of wrong? They bring it on a cart and two guys touch it and they die. And David's a little nervous about the fact that we did this wrong. So a little while later, they do it right. And every time they come in, I mean, they take a few steps and they're sacrificing animals. They're just so excited about the presence of God coming back into the city. And he says this. In 1 Chronicles 16:7, it says, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. And at the end of the psalm, he's given this great psalm because his presence is coming and he's so thankful for the presence and the mercy of God. And then in verse 34 in his psalm, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, is the exact same phrase also when Solomon's temple was built and dedicated. They say the exact same phrase. Also, when it was all destroyed, they went into captivity for 70 years. They come back and Ezra builds the foundations to the temple. They say the exact same phrase again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Forever. For he's good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. That's the Hebrew word tob. And it's the same word when God made in creation and he saw that it was good. And he created us and he saw that we were very good. He liked what he was doing. He liked his creation. He called it good because he is good. He is the essence of good. There's nobody gooder than God. You can't get any gooder than God. He is the goodest. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said, he, God, is good beyond all others. Indeed, he alone is good in the highest sense. He is the source of good. The good of all good, the sustainer of good, the perfecter of good, and the rewarder of good. For this, he deserves the constant gratitude of his people. Amen, amen. You are so good. Wow. There's nobody gooder than God. You are good to me. You are so good to me, God. You know, I think we can all look through our life and we can see all of the difficulties that have happened. A lot of difficult things, a lot of tough things, a lot of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of hurdles to overcome, a lot of mountains to climb, a lot of things you never asked for, never thought would happen your way, stuff that happened in your life that you thought, how could this ever happen? But yet in the midst of it all, God is still so good. He's so very, 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 very good because he will get you through everything. Don't run away from him and get mad at him because it seems like it's bad, because the goodness of God will help you through every bad situation that happens in your life. Don't give up on God because he will never, ever give up on you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That word mercy, chesed, it means kindness, piety, reproof, interesting word in the definition, reproof, beauty. It's also translated favor. It comes from another word, if you take this word back into its original, it means, and I listen to this, his mercy endures forever. It means to bow in courtesy to an equal. To bow in courtesy to an equal, to be kind, and again, the word to reprove. At first here it says that he favors us. This mercy, God favors us. This word mercy also means his kindness. He is kind toward us. He is kind toward us. We don't deserve his kindness, and yet he's still kind. Even when we were pushing God away and didn't want anything to do with God, wanted to do our own sin and get away from God, he is still kind to us. He still pursues us. He still moves after us. Even his reproof to us is a kindness. It's kind when God reproves you. It's kind when God chastens you. It's kind when God says, hey, I need to correct you. That's not the right way to go. If we continue to go in the wrong direction, we can move completely away from God, away from all that he has planned for us. I remember as a young Christian, I just got saved. I remember in the Beta House, and I would pray, God, please never let me go my own way. Please never, ever let me go my own way. When I think like I want to go my own way, frustrate it, mess it up. I don't care what you have to do. Don't let me go my own way. And I can't tell you how many times he has messed things up because he's going, I think you're going in your own way, Phil. Lord, why is this? Because that's not my way. I've got another way for you. I've got another direction for you. I've got another path that I want you to be on. I remember him, and I remember just crying out to him, tears coming down my face. God, I don't want to go my own way, because before that I had messed my life up. I'd done so many different things. I thought I was following God, and I wasn't in my younger days, and I did stuff I'm ashamed of. I know how easy it was to just kind of go, well, and walk a different direction. It was so easy just to turn for friends, popularity, everything else. And I said, God, I don't ever want to do that. And I know that sometime I'm going to be weak. I'm going to be really weak, and I don't want to go away from you. So frustrate it, Lord. Do something. I don't care what you have to do. I don't want to go my own way. Please, Lord. And it was a kindness. It was the kindness of God that kept me from falling way away from him. God's intervention to reprove us is merciful. To correct us is merciful. Because if we persist in going our own way, we will really, literally go our own way. Away from him, away from heaven. So his intervention and his correction is kindness to us. Even though it's hard, I would rather go through that than lose out on heaven and eternity. Hebrews 12:7-11 says, if you endure, here's another thing we're supposed to endure, right? If we endure chastening or correction, God deals with you as sons. Verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. It's tough to be corrected. It's tough to be challenged. It's tough to realize I'm wrong. I'm in sin. I shouldn't have done that. It's tough. That's difficult. No chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I knew, Lord God, I'm not going to like the chastening and the frustration, but do it, man. I just don't want to go my own way. I don't want to move away from you. God reproving us lets us know that we're his. He cares about us. We're his son. And then this one here is very, very interesting to me. This concept of to bow. In courtesy of an equal. To bow in courtesy of an equal. Wow, that's God's mercy toward us. God is bowing to an equal. Now, we are by no means God's equal. And his courtesy to bow down to us is not because we are an equal. God does not bow down in worship or submission to us. He bows down in kindness to us. Hear that. He bows down in kindness to us. He bows down to help us. Nata, come here for a second. Come on up here. You got slip-ons today. I needed someone who had a shoe. I was going to say that sometimes I was taking my grandson Noah. I took him to the big weekend, and he's got his shoelaces undone, and they're all over the place. And I think sometimes our shoelaces being undone, God bows down. He's willing to bow down and to tie our shoelaces to keep us from falling. To keep us from falling. Nathan got really wise. He says, I'm just going to put slip-ons on so I can never, ever fall. I'm saying that God comes down to us in all of our sin and filth and dirtiness to help us. It's a kindness. It's a kindness. So when he's bowing down, he is humbling himself. He is coming down to you in kindness. And he's coming down so that he can pick you up. I don't know that I can pick you up. So he can pick you up. And God is a lot stronger than I am. He can pick you higher than I can. Come here, you. You're good. I love him. Give Nada a big hand, okay? He comes down in kindness. When you're going through a problem, he's coming down in kindness. He is bowing his life before you. The ultimate bow that Jesus Christ took was when he was humiliated to become a man just like us. And then it was so humbled as he was disgraced and laid naked before us upon that cross and then bled to death and died for us to forgive us of our sins. You don't think that was bowing down to us, mankind? We have a God who came and didn't say, you guys all serve me or else. We have a God who went down to his knees in love for you. He died for you. He cared about you. He bowed himself before you in humiliation to set you free. That was his mercy. That was his mercy. That was his mercy for you. Because he loves you so doggone much, God took a bow. Not, hey, aren't I great? But a bow with his body broken and bleeding in the dirt and dust and humiliation so that we could go free. Wow. That's amazing. He bows down in kindness to humanity so he can pick us up in grace. The other thing I think when Jesus came down here, he knew what it felt like to be human. He knew what it felt like to be tempted. He knew what it felt like to feel pain. He knew what it felt like to be scared. Father, if it's possible, take this from me. He knew what it was like to kind of, I don't know if I want to do your will. You've given me free will here. As a human, this is difficult. Of course, he passed every test, but he knows what it feels like. He knows what the struggle is like. God gets you. He gets you. He understands you. But God, you don't understand what I'm going through. I know exactly what you're going through. That's why my mercy endures forever. That's why I bow down in kindness to help you through everything. That's why I'm so good. That's why I'm so good to you. Because I love you so much. And my kindness is displayed on Calvary. He gets us. That's why the mercy. He understands the struggle. That's why the mercy. He says that this endures forever. It's a very interesting Hebrew word here. It's all one word, endures forever. It means concealed. It means the vanishing point. You know in a picture when you see the vanishing point? Because the vanishing point means it goes on forever. Kind of. It vanishes. That's the forever part behind it, if you will. Time out of mind, eternity are always. Always. God's mercy endures forever. It says God is always merciful. He is always merciful to you. In your sin, in your darkness, in your darkest hour, in your most heinous sin, God's mercy is always extended to you 24/7, 365 and a quarter days out of the year. Yes, he's there during leap year as well. You need him 24/7, 365 and a quarter days and forever. That's his mercy. When you're sitting there messed up over a sin or something happened or a situation or circumstances, remember that God is bowing down in kindness to shed his mercy on you. Gosh, how can we not love this God? How can we not love and adore and do anything for someone like this? Who does this? Even our best friend can't be this good. I like the ESV because it translates, your mercy endures forever as his steadfast love endures forever. That concept of his love, his mercy. Number two is truth. What endures forever? His truth. Psalm 117, verse 2. For his merciful kindness, there it is again. His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord, say it with me, endures forever. Praise the Lord. His truth endures forever. His truth, his word, his truth will endure forever. Truth will stay here forever. Truth will always be truth, even though people don't call it truth or try to despise the truth or try to propagate lies. It's still truth is truth. It will stay truth. It will be revealed as truth forever and ever and ever. Truth will always stand. Amen. It will always stand. Yep. The word truth here, apmeth, it means stability, certainty, trustworthiness. Hallelujah. Trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He's the only person in the world who absolutely will be trustworthy. Your best friend can't even all that. Oh man, I missed it. We're human. We're fallen. We're not perfect. But God is. And he's trustworthy. He will always be there. You can bank on it. The stability of God. Stability. No one is going to overthrow God. Amen. The devil cannot do it. The devil only has the power that the Lord allows him to have. He's his watchdog, if you will, on a leash. He can only do what the Lord allows him. You know, he allows him to test us. He just can't run and do everything. God says, no, there's limits on what you can do because we're not in this battle between, you know, God and the devil. Oh my God, who's going to win? We got to realize that the devil is way down here. God is here. God says, I will help you win if you want to win. You will win. You will win. If I am on your team, you will win. Guaranteed, you will win. If the Lord is with you, he's stable. He's stable and he's constant forever. I love about God. He's constant. He doesn't go, oh my God. He's not like me. I do a lot of that, man. Seriously. Yeehaw, yeehaw. Oh my God. God is just, yep. Yep. He's a constant. You can bank on it. In the midst of all of your, he's just pulling us through, pulling us through, pulling us through, pulling us up, pulling us through. We change often as humans. But God is a constant. He doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 11:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's there for us. He doesn't go through a lapse. Oh, gee, I forgot about you guys for a while there. I'm sorry. I was gone. I know all hell broke loose. No, he's there through it all. You may feel like all hell broke loose, but he's still there. He's still there. You got to find him in the midst of it. You got to be able to see him. Keep your eyes on him. Jesus is a constant. Life is a variable. But the variables do not surprise or change the constant. Life is a big variable. There's all sorts of changes, but God is a constant and he will constantly be there for you. He'll take you through each and everything. And let me say this about truth. Truth is not just, well, truth is not subjective, it's objective. Truth is not subjective, it's objective. The word subjective means based or influenced by personal feelings, tastes, or opinions. Truth is not based on how you feel. Truth is not based on your personal opinion. Truth is based on truth. The actual reality. What it is. What it really is. Not what we hope it to be, perceive it to be, have an opinion to be, or masquerade it to be. It's what it is. Truth. Truth is so important. Truth is so needed in our nation today. But we can't have truth without God. It's not our perception, it's the honest reality. I remember when we were in at Disneyland many, many years ago, and there are all these animated rides now, and you feel like you're doing certain things, and you're not doing them. I remember one where we had these screens all around, and we were in a plane, and the plane was tilting, and everybody was tilting like that. They had railings, and I realized why they had the railings, because everybody was tilting when the plane started to tilt. That wasn't happening. That was our perception. But that was not reality. Everybody goes, well, my perception of truth is, well, no, truth is truth. Yes. Truth is truth. You can't say, well, truth for me is. There is no truth for you is. Perception for you is. My opinion is. Yeah, great, awesome. That's all great. Truth is truth. Yes. It's what it is. Yes. Today in our society, people say, they are telling the truth when at best, it's just their opinion. At medium, it's just their misconception. And at worst, it's their out and out lie. The devil is alive and well on planet Earth. He's alive and well. And in him dwells no truth. He's a liar and the father of all lies. And we have to be very careful about what we believe. Because there is a devil moving now at a rapid rate. I've never seen it move so fast. I don't care what political persuasion you have, both sides don't tell the truth. It's their narrative. I'm saying is we need to know what does the truth say? What does the Bible say? We need to be planted deeply in it because the devil is having a heyday today. And we are fueling it. People today are fueling the lies that are being propagated by the devil. We need the truth. We need people to stand up for truth. Number three, righteousness. Psalm 111, 2 and 3. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable, means it's huge, and glorious, magnificent. And his righteousness endures forever. His righteousness, tzedakah, his righteousness. It means righteous, righteous, justice, virtue. It means rectitude. I'd looked that word up. I'd never come across the word rectitude, but I liked the word rectitude. I have the definition. It means morally correct behavior or thinking. Morally correct behavior or thinking. The quality or state of being correct in judgment or procedure. Totally correct in judgment or procedure. A lot of people think that they are that. But there truly is only one who is that. And that is God. He is God. He is the state of being correct. He's the state of being correct. He's right. And you're wrong if you're fighting with him, all right? If you're going, but Lord, blah, 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 blah. He'll listen to you and all that stuff and help you figure out that you maybe aren't correct here, even though it's your great opinion. There's only one. There's only one. There's only one who was always right and he's never wrong. Always right and never wrong. Boy, I tell you, he's a hard person to fight with. My wife sometimes says to me, well, you always think you're right. And I go, well, that's just because I am. And then she says, well, I can't agree with you because then both of us would be wrong. I just about spit that out. But when you argue with God, it's like he's always right. He's always right. He always has the correct view on it. He always has the correct attitude. He's always right. And he's our God. And he's the one who lives inside of us. And he's the one who empowers us. And he's the one who encourages us. And he's the one who speaks to us. And he's the one who has destiny for us. And he's got greatness written over all of us. Oh, jeez. Never wrong. Never wrong. Never wrong. He is always just as well. He is always just, it says in the definition here. Justice is his attribute, and he will ultimately right all wrongs, and he will judge all lies. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that that's the God we serve. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Endures forever. He is totally righteous. He is a totally righteous dude. Number four. What endures forever about the Lord? His word. 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord, say it with me, endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. This word. The word of the Lord. This is truth. This is his word. This is right. This will change you. This is the gospel. This right here is the good news. That God, that loving, merciful God, went to a cross and died for you to set you free so you could live in heaven forever and ever and ever. And he wants to help you with each and every step of your life here right now and take you through every problem, every difficult, and enjoy every blessing and every joy with you, right alongside of you. His word is what guides us. His word is what guides us. His word what gives us purpose and being. His word is so important. We need to be in the word and know the word of God. We have a Bible reading schedule that gets you through the word. Get on it. Get on our app. Living Faith Fellowship, just search Living Faith Fellowship and get our app and get our Bible reading program and get going. Get into the word. We need the word of God. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Everything that God has spoken in here will come to pass. I don't care how dark it looks, how tough it looks, whatever happens, you don't think it could happen, it could never be that way. I'm telling you that every single word that God spoke in here will happen, it will come to pass, and it will be known as true. We need to stay tight in these days into the word of God. Number five, his name. Your name, O Lord, say it with me, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. His name, Shem. It means honor, authority, character. Your name carries honor, authority, and character, or the lack of it. Your name carries honor, authority, and character, or the lack of it. We used to tell our kids all the time, if you don't have integrity, you don't have our character, you don't have nothing. What's your name without those things in it? If you're dishonorable, you disauthority, and you have no character, then what is your name? But God's name is good. God's name is good. And his name will still be talked about billions and billions of years from today. It is never going away. It will never go away. His name endures forever. It will last forever. In Revelation 22, 4 and 5, it says, they shall see his face and his name shall be on their foreheads. His name shall be on their foreheads. When we stand at the end of time, talking about the power of his name. That name, it will be written on our foreheads. It will be the key that will get us in to the new Jerusalem to live and reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever again, because we have his name written on our forehead, on our mind, on our heart, in our lives. It is what guides us, drives us, and directs us. His name. Number six, glory. Psalm 104:31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, his glory, kabod. It means splendor, weight. It has this weightiness. You can feel God's glory. You can feel God's presence. You can know something's here. God's here. I can feel him. I can sense him. I'll tell you, the greatest thing that God gave us was his Holy Spirit. His very own presence, so that we could feel and sense and know there is a God. He's in my life. He's helping me. He's encouraging me. He's directing me. Number seven, the fear of the Lord. We're going to wrap this up. The fear of the Lord is clean, pure, enduring forever. Yarah, it means to fear, our reverence, our respect and reverence for God will last forever. He can't lose it. And lastly, praise. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. The word praise means laudation. It means, it comes from a Hebrew word, halal, to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate. That's why we come to church, is so we can have that. We can celebrate, we can boast about God. You know, it's what we're going to be doing in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever, bringing him glory. When you read the book of Revelation, you find out, my gosh, they're always throwing their crowns down. People are falling down. They're getting back up. They're praising him. They're worshiping him. They get in front of his presence. They fall down. They worship him. They revere him. You get this idea that all of a sudden, there's worship going on and on and on and on. The idea of letting God know he's so good, he's so awesome, he's so wonderful, that we're living in paradise forever and ever and ever, and we get to thank him and worship him and call him so, so good. And recount the days that he helped us while we're down on earth, man. I remember, and I thought you weren't going to, and you know you did. And hey, we had a $2.7 million debt, and I didn't, how can you do that? And all of a sudden, you did that. You did miracles, Lord. We're just praising you, letting you know you're so awesome. You're so great. You're so wonderful. You're so powerful. And worship's going to go on and on and on and on. We're going to be praising God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We're going to enjoy him. We're going to reminisce about what it was like on planet Earth. I was so stupid. I didn't follow him, and I was doing my own thing. And then, you know, I let him into my life, and he changed my whole life. And I look back now, and I was so stupid. The things I thought were so important are so ridiculous. The things I thought I wanted, I get here and I go, what the? That's like, what? It's nothingness. You're everythingness. And I love you. 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 I love you, Lord. And we'll worship you forever and ever and ever. Father, I know you've asked us to endure. I'm glad that you also are enduring. You endure forever your mercy, your truth, your righteousness, your word, your name, your glory, your fear, your praise will last forever and ever. And so will I with you. Because of that endurance. Lord, that's what gives me confidence to take the next step here on earth. That's what gives me the hope to keep moving forward. You got it all in control. You got it all in charge. And you just love us so much. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. And your mercy endures forever. Thank you, God. We love you. Amen. God bless. Love you.